Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Wednesday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Looking up recipes for pork for skillet.
Attaboy.
I'll tell you what, gentlemen. The skillet, the Blackstone is going to be great. You guys.
Yeah, it's going to be good for
that. Yeah. You guys will love it.
Proud of you, man.
We are proud of you.
So I've got a list. We're quarter way through the 2000s, and so I've got the list of most football wins by NFL teams in the first quarter part of this century, all right? And so we're June. We love lists and all this. But it just shows you how bad certain NFL programs are and why we shouldn't be – I know we're mad at the Titans right now, but overall we shouldn't be mad at the Titans. That makes sense?
Okay.
So the most wins in the regular season since 2000, number one's obvious.
In the NFL?
Yeah.
This is the Patriots?
Yeah, Patriots are 270. All right, we're going to start at the bottom. This shows you these teams.
I want to try and guess some of
just
these.
Just how bad these NFL programs are and why we should give the Titans just a little bit of a break.
Okay.
A little bit. At the bottom.
Cleveland.
With only 139 wins. The Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
They are 32nd.
That felt easy.
Who is 31 with 153 wins?
I'm going to say probably Jacksonville.
The Jacksonville Jaguars. 30th. The third worst NFL program in the first quarter of the century.
Since the year 2000. This might be tougher.
They had an offer.
Oh, Lions.
Lions.
Yeah.
Coming in, Chase McGabe, 32 through it. That 29 was a team that, my gosh, they've been to the playoffs one time since they last went to the Super Bowl.
Raiders.
Good job, buddy. One, this doesn't count. The Texans at 160, they don't count because they missed two seasons. With 170 wins coming in, I think that's 26th place. They got a lot of momentum now. They didn't have it for a lot of years. They got momentum.
Chiefs?
No.
Oh, you mean like okay.
They hadn't had momentum. Now they got it. All because of a quarterback. A Heisman Trophy quarterback. And a head coach that wears his hat backwards.
Dan Quinn?
Attaboy.
Or the Washington?
Yep. At 172 is a program we do not care about because it's terrible. In the worst sports town in America.
Falcons?
No.
Worst sports town in America.
We just had it to the last week. They got four pro teams that nobody goes to the games.
I know, we were just talking about this, weren't we?
That would be the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, yeah.
At 173 this century, their former head coach lives down in Franklin.
So we're at what, 20?
So we're 32, 31, 30,
29, 28, 27, 26, 25th. Their former head coach lives in Franklin.
Yep, and he loves feet.
Oh, the Jets.
The Jets.
Rex Ryan.
Rex Ryan. At 24, they've been to two Super Bowls in the quarter century. Lost both of them.
Been to two since 2000. Lost both of them. Oh, Carolina.
Carolina, attaboy. Yep. 23rd, they've actually won two Super Bowls in this quarter century.
Giants?
Look at you. 22. They have a little momentum, but how should I put this? They've got a brand new head coach, and if I give a big clue away, you get it. The Bears, you got it, my man. All right. This team has won two Super Bowls. They're an NFC team. They've won two Super Bowls. They'll come in at 32, that's 29, 28, 27,
Eagles.
26, 25, 24, 23, 22. They're 21. No, not the Eagles. They won two Super Bowls in this century and
Bucks.
Attaboy. 20. They have been to one Super Bowl, lost it, but you and I think this might be the year for this team.
Mean and angry, Cincinnati Bengals.
Attaboy. Number 19, they've been to two Super Bowls. They won one, lost one. No, they've been in this – I'm sorry, they've been to three. Pittsburgh. They've lost two and won one.
No.
Pittsburgh's a good guess, but no.
Been to three, lost two, won one.
And they fired a coach during their Amazon behind the curtain show, whatever.
Oh, the Rams.
The Rams, yeah. That's right. This team has been to, I think, three Super Bowls, have won none in the 2000s so far. But they're talented. I mean, their quarterback is talented.
Been to three, won none. What?
They've had three different quarterbacks take them to the Super Bowl.
49ers.
Ah, boy, killing it. This other team you and I fell in love with last year, and it broke our heart, so we're not going to go back on
Miami
them again.
Dolphins.
Killing it, man. This next team is the second worst pro city in America.
Atlanta,
the Falcons, 197. This team at 198, we had a great conversation with one Jeff Fisher last week about a certain football game they played. And a
Buffalo?
A lateral pass. Coming in, Chaser, at number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, at 14, your Tennessee Titans.
Really?
199 wins. They are 14th this quarter century in wins.
That's actually pretty impressive.
14th. Not bad. I mean,
because you gotta factor in the Wisenhunt debacle.
Yep.
But that shows you – you know what that shows you? That shows you how as much as y'all want to poke fun at 8-8 and all that stuff, how stable Fisher was.
Yeah.
And Vrabel.
Yep. Ahead of them, we'll run through these. Number 13, the Chargers. Number 12, the Vikings. Those also have not won Super Bowls.
That's pretty impressive.
And they haven't been to Super Bowls either. And then there's this team coming at number 11. The Dallas Cowboys have not been to Super Bowl. Then you got Broncos – Saints, Seahawks, Chiefs, Colts, Eagles, Ravens, Packers, Steelers are number two at 255 wins. Well, the Patriots number one. So as much as people were like, "Oh, Mike Tomlin hadn't done this or that,"
he's had winning seasons.
I mean, who would you take, Mike Tomlin or Brian Callahan? I know it's a big time hypothetical, but they win. You know what to expect. I mean, the Steelers. I'm like, well, they get beat in the first round. They make playoffs.
Yeah.
They're there.
I would take Mike Tomlin over a majority of coaches. I mean, I would take him over Callahan. I'd probably take him over Vrabel right now.
Yes.
I would take him over – I wouldn't take him over Andy Reid.
What about Harbaugh? Jim.
Yeah. I'd take him over Jim. Maybe not John. I don't know. John and Tomlin are kind of right there together.
Yeah, I meant John. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. Ravens coach, John.
Yeah. Because they've both won one Super Bowl. Is that right?
Tomlin won two. No, you're right. He won one. Yeah, he lost
Cowher,
one.
Cowher won.
Right.
Roethlisberger was in three, won two. Was in two with Tomlin and one with Cowher.
That's right.
Correct. So I would take Tomlin.
So do you look at the Titans differently now, knowing that they're 14? I mean, I know we play at the present time and don't look back, but I mean.
No, I don't look at them differently because it doesn't matter. They haven't won anything, but like they haven't won a Super Bowl. They haven't even played in a Super Bowl in that time.
They
played in two AFC championship games in that time.
Who's that? I'm sorry.
Titans.
Yes.
The Raiders and then.
Well, they don't consider. Well, yeah, you're right.
I don't count because that's the 99 season.
Well, I'm taking 2000 season. They didn't make the championship game because the Ravens beat them.
Like, I know they were in the Super Bowl and in the AFC championship game in the year 2000, but that was the 99 season.
I always wanted to ask, and I should have done this, Jeff Fisher, because I think we've asked this before others, what would have happened, for those who remember, had Drew Bennett caught that pass in the playoffs versus New England?
Was that the 03 divisional?
Yeah. I think Titans win that game, and there's no Brady. I really do.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Brady got the tuck rule, which helped him, which was ridiculous. But I think if Drew Bennett catches that pass, it's a first down. And they had momentum. They go and score, and they win the game.
I agree.
Brady's not doing that.
That was 03.
Oh, the 03 season, yes.
Yeah, so January 04. Because who would they have played?
Colts, maybe? They'd have played Peyton? Didn't Peyton lose like two or three straight to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game? I think they would have played the Colts, I think. But if he would have caught the ball, I think they would have won that game. They had all the momentum, and they could not stop him.
They would have played.
And McNair was a force in that game. It was 8 degrees.
They would have played the Colts.
Colts.
They would have played the Colts in the championship game and gotten Carolina.
You know, that'd have been crazy. The two co-MVPs playing each other in the AFC championship game.
Oh, that would have been something.
It would have.
Because I totally forgot. Do you remember who they beat in the wild card round? I totally forgot about this.
Is it Pittsburgh?
The Titans?
Yeah.
No.
Wild card round.
I totally forgot about
that. Hold on. In 03?
Yep.
All right. So 02 would have been the
That was the flop.
Hold on now. Oh, they beat the damn Ravens up in Baltimore.
Yep. 2017. Right.
That's Gary Anderson's field goal. How the hell can I forget that?
Because there's that picture of Derek hugging him.
Yes, that's right.
Yep.
He had the one bar face mask, 5'1", just came off a fishing village in Rayon City. It made that. That's right.
So this was the wild card weekend. Indy beat Denver 41-10.
Wow.
Was that Cutler? No, this is 03. Who was Denver's quarterback?
It would have been
Jake Plummer?
Greasy or Plummer, yeah.
Yeah. Tennessee beat Baltimore. So I don't even remember who Baltimore's quarterback was.
Was it? It wasn't Gerback. He'd quit. Wasn't Dilfer. Was it Dilfer? No.
03? I don't think so.
Anthony Wright? I don't remember.
Yeah, one of those guys. Indy beat Kansas City in the divisional round.
What was that? Does it have the score there?
38-31.
38-31.
In Kansas City.
In Kansas City, yeah. I think Peyton and Marvin Harrison were on fire. Trent Green would have been a quarterback.
Trent Green.
For the Chiefs.
And was that Romeo?
Was it? Maybe. No. Who was the coach then? Was it Schottenheimer? Or was he? No, he's with the Chargers already.
Yeah.
Damn, I don't remember.
I'd have to look that up. And then NFC real quick. Carolina beat Dallas 29-10. Green Bay beat Seattle 33-27 at Lambeau.
Was that the famous Hasselbeck game?
It might have been, yeah.
We went with the ball. We're going to score first. Yeah. And then his first pass was intercepted. Ouch.
Carolina beat St. Louis. Philly beat Green Bay. And then it was Carolina-Philly 14-3 with Carolina winning with Jake Delhomme.
Yeah, Jake Delhomme, former Saint quarterback.
Yeah, there you go. More coming here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Do, 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 do. There it is.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
Is that Krusty? Didn't Krusty do that?
He did. Yeah. Somebody sang to Krusty for his birthday.
Or no.
Or did Krusty sing to somebody?
I thought Krusty sang to somebody. And then there's the Smithers having Burns jump out of the cake. That's what it is. Burns in Smithers' dream jumps out of the cake and sings it like Marilyn Monroe. Happy birthday.
Smithers does that to Burns?
Smithers.
Oh, Burns does it. Okay. Yeah. But how does Krusty figure in this, though?
I don't know. Maybe. I think we're.
But Krusty did something like that.
Probably. Ugh. Look.
Oh, yes.
I will fight anyone when it comes to to TV in general. Krusty the Clown is one of the greatest characters of all time.
Every episode he's in The Simpsons is fantastic.
You have it?
Oh, that's so awesome.
That's actually the roast. Oh, that is fantastic.
I didn't have enough time to bring it back, but I was trying to put two and two together, like put bed music underneath
that's
it.
All right, man. Oh, that was so good. We're going to be joined by comedian Jamie Lisso here in just a few minutes, but Gator Mike wants to weigh in. Hello, Gator Mike.
What is going on? Yes, my second favorite TV character behind George Costanza, Krusty the Clown.
Yeah, that's fair.
Hey, are you talking through a bullhorn?
No,
it sounds so modulated. No, I mean, your voice is beautiful, but I mean, it's, you know,
he sounds fine.
Is it better now, Joe? I'm on a landline, which is even funnier.
Okay,
that's what he's not used to, landlines anymore. That's the problem.
That's what it is. Happy birthday, Chase.
Thank you.
You know, the question that Joe posed, or the game posed, was what will we get you for your birthday? I would take you through mine and Joe's childhood and revisit and have spent a day in Donelson. We would go to Donut Castle first, which is no longer. Right, JoJo? Remember Donut Castle?
Yes.
And then I would get you a manly bouquet from Dick's Flowers and Larry Keaton. and then we would roll over to Fletcher's for lunch and hit Joe's VIP table.
That's right.
VIP Fletcher's.
I have been there.
And then we'd go over to the Percy Priest Dam and just sit and reminisce by the lake.
No, we wouldn't.
And then...
Not there. No, we'd get arrested. That's all right.
we do wave country, Chase.
There you go.
Yeah. You know what's funny? You know,
wave what about Opryland?
You know, wave country, you know, Gator Mike, back in the 80s, I mean, it was packed.
I love wave. Dude. We went there all the time when I was growing up.
Hey, and Joe knows this. That was almost a badge of honor if you made the lifeguard team, because you knew all your friends and that's where everybody went to hang out. Like, instead of cruising the mall at night, everybody was hanging out at the wave pool during the day. It was like the summer meetup, like Joe said, and the radio stations would do big events and concerts there, like 96 Kiss way back in the day, right, Joe? I mean,
that's crazy.
Like, you'd have unreal stuff. But anyway, that's what I would do, Chase. I would just enlighten you on mine and Joe's childhood in lovely Donelson, Tennessee.
Awesome. Thank you, Gator Mike. I appreciate you, man.
Hey, have a great day, buddy.
Thanks. You too. You know what's funny? Wave country is one of those things that I had no idea that the name of the place was actually wave country, because everybody just called it the wave pool.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Yeah. So,
you know, like, what you doing there?
I don't know. Fog him up. God. Yeah, right. We all would go to wave country back in the day. I'd drive by. There's like seven people there.
I'd go this summer. That could be a fun, like, thing to do. There was one day my grandmother, I think it was my grandmother, I know what it was. I went with a group of friends. We went to the wave pool for like 4 or 5 hours, got picked up, and my grandmother was like, let's go to Opryland. I have never slept better in my life. I was so exhausted after
that day.
You had
to be exhausted. Sunburned and then go to Opryland?
Sunburned, like... been knocked around because, you know, it was cool to get off the float and try and swim through the waves and being knocked around, which was just dangerous and stupid, but we did it anyway. And then go to Opryland for a few hours. Like, I was asleep in the car, like, going to Key West, but, I mean, like, I was exhausted.
It would be like, all right, I'll be back at 9:30. Don't be late! You're like, all right. You get there at 9:29. There was no cell phone. There was no...
No, you had to be, like, it was either there or you're in trouble.
I'd have $5. I'd eat one of those damn banjo bars. That would be my lunch and dinner at Opryland all day long. That's what we would do. But it was fun. And that's why I feel awful for these kids around here now who didn't grow up with an Opryland. Opryland was amazing. I mean, it was amazing.
So good. So good. Coming up next, the very funny Jamie Lisso will join us here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Wednesday. Very excited about our next guest. He's going to be playing at Zany's in November, November 8th and 9th, as a part of his Better Off Dad tour. We say hello to the very funny Jamie Lisso, who is on the line with us. Jamie, how you doing?
I'm good. What's up, guys? How you guys doing today?
We are doing fantastic. Thanks so much for doing this. And I know that you have just gotten underway with the Better Off Dad Tour. So how's it been going so far?
Going great so far, man. I'm in New York City right now. We just finished a few shows in California. It's going good, man. I feel like it's sort of like the new chapter. You know, comedy sort of follows like how your life goes. So my first tour was kind of like during COVID. So we're doing all the COVID stuff. And then I was the divorced dad for a while. And now I just got married a week ago.
Hey, so, congrats.
Yeah, by the way, back during COVID, remember we had to do like masks and you had a social, you had to get like 6 feet apart. When I was with my ex-wife, I actually had to get closer to her to get to 6 feet.
A lot of divorces happened because of that.
So
that was a thing. So I know it's going to be a while before you're in Nashville, but have you been to our city before?
Dude, I have. One of my favorite places to perform is Zanies in Nashville. And the response has always been great. It is, you know, it's a legendary club. Zanies is a legendary club. And so I've been there. You know, now I do the Gutfeld show, and lots of people come out to shows. So I've actually been to Nashville before. It's just no one else was there. But I was there.
Oh, it's always good. So last night, Jamie, I'm sitting there. I'm settling in. I turn on Gutfeld, and there you are last night. What's it like being on that show that's become so massively popular?
Dude, it's been a hilarious journey because I've known Greg Gutfeld for probably 20 years, and he's done many different formats and shows, and he's always been the same guy, and it's almost like the audience has finally found him, and it's just hilarious, man, because we've been doing this for so long, and then it's so fun to be doing it in front of all of these people. And what's so cool is, like, I did the Tonight Show back in 2001. I've been doing this for a long time, bit of an older guy. I just turned 40 10 years ago, and the beauty of Gutfeld is, you know, like when I did the Tonight Show, you do like 5 minutes of material and you work on it for years. You know, you're sort of crafting 5 minutes for 10 years and then you finally get on the Tonight Show. Gutfeld, I wrote all the jokes I did yesterday. I wrote yesterday.
Yes.
Afternoon. And so you're kind of doing brand new material in front of like 3 to 4 million people, which is, you feel alive, man. It's like, you know, walking on a tightrope with no net. And so it is my favorite part of my job. And it's just been like really cool to, you know, it's been a journey. I'm very grateful to have gotten to this point where people kind of know my comedy and come out to see my shows. And to be honest with you, I never thought it would happen. I thought I was kind of past the point at which that would happen, which is okay with me. I always had like a pretty cool career, but I think every comedian wants people to know who you are and to come see you. And so it's been really cool.
I had to laugh last night. You talked about your dry bar special, when a lot of those are great and funny. And, you know, it's a clean show. For those who don't know dry bar comedy, it's very clean. And you said you had to spend the whole hour trying not to cuss.
Yeah, dude, want to hear the dumbest thing? This is not even a bit. So when I got that dry bar, I had not heard of it. Like, a friend of mine is involved with them, and he was like, oh, you should do this. And I go, he's going to be really clean. And I'm like, have you not watched my clips? Like, why are you asking me? And he goes, I go, tell me a little bit about it. And he goes, it films in Provo. And I was like, oh, wow, that sounds like 4K or something, you know? And Provo is a city in Utah. I thought he was telling me, like, the kind of quality requirements. I was like, oh, this film's in Provo. I got to do it. It's just like a city. Yeah, it's like a, you know, a lot of Mormons and really, really great crowd, man. Just, like, very gracious crowd. And yeah, they tell you to be clean for your own good. Like, it's not like they're trying to censor you. They're sort of saying, if you are very clean, they will respond better to your material. So they're trying to help you. They're not trying to censor you. And and I think I said on the show last night, I wanted to call the special, is it Mormon here or is it just me? that's what I wanted to call it.
Oh, that is fantastic. Jamie Lissau is with us. Better Off Dad comedy tour. So you mentioned playing the Tonight Show back in 01. When you did those things, I mean, did Leno give you like feedback? Did he give you comments? Did he even talk to you? Like, how? I've always wondered how that works when comedians would go on with him or with Letterman.
Yeah, so I was heard I was going to be on the Tonight Show probably a year and a half before I actually went on. Like, I did the Montreal Comedy Festival, and the guy booking Leno at the time, the guys booking Leno, these really cool guys, Bob and Ross, they said, you're on the board, which means you're going to be on, but we have to sort of like craft this set and work on the set with you. And then we worked on the set for, I think it might have been a year. And then it was a week before I was on The Tonight Show. I'd never met Leno. I'd never been on a big TV show. And I was at the grocery store, and I ran into Jay Leno at the grocery store 1 week before I was on. And I normally would never say anything to anybody famous. And he was buying this, I'll never forget, he was buying like a giant box of cornflakes. I don't know. I can't explain why. And he was kind of facing the wrong way, like as you check out. And I go, I think he'd be okay with me saying hi to him. And I said, dude, I wouldn't normally say anything. I go, but I'm going to be on your show on Tuesday. And he was like, really? I go, yeah, I'm a comedian. I'm going to do a show. He's like, all right, I'll see you Tuesday. And so the next Tuesday, I went on the show, and he was like the most gracious. Like, I was so nervous. And he came in the green room, and he just said, dude, he's like, you're on this show with a musical guest and an actor. And he's like, neither of these people are funny at all, at all. And he's like, you are going to be so funny because you're the comedian. And he goes, we'll see how it goes. If it goes good, you can come back. He goes, if it doesn't go good, you can still come back. He's like, you got nothing to worry about. He was just like a super chill, down-to-earth guy. And yeah, and that was kind of it. And then he told me I did good, you know, on after the show on the little break there. He actually, you know how you see the guy, you're watching like Leno or Letterman, and you see him sort of whisper to the guy on break, and you're like, what is that guy saying to him? What is he saying?
Yeah.
So I used to live in Hermosa Beach, which is where the Comedy Magic Club is, which is where Jay Leno does shows every Sunday night. And I used to walk by there. I never performed there. I tried. They never hired me. And I could hear Leno through the wall performing. And I would jog by there and be like, man, someday I want to work that club. And I would hear Leno. And on the break, he leans over and he goes, you ever worked at Comedy Magic Club? And I go, never. I'm dying to. And he goes, I'll call there this week. And I'll get you on. And so the next week, I got a phone call from the Comedy Magic Club where I'd been jogging past for years. And they go, hey, Leno called. Said you're a funny guy. And then I started working there like every week for the rest
Holy
of the
cow.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's really awesome. Cool. Yeah, I mean, I was expecting to go like, hey, never come on my show again. You're not funny. Yeah, beat it. Yeah. Something along those lines right there. Jamie Lissau's with us. All right, so Jamie, you're playing Albany on July 10th. Chase and I are heading to Albany tomorrow. My question, though, is, are jokes different when you tell a joke in Albany as opposed to telling a joke to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, as opposed to telling a joke in Pasadena? Do you get the same effect, or do you have to temper it towards the audience?
It's a great question. I would say all of my shows are tailored a little bit to the unique crowd. Like if you saw me every night of my tour, I don't think you would see the same show twice. I'm not one of these guys that is like the perfect craftsman of every word and every joke. Like I definitely get to town early, find things to talk about, try to make it a unique show. But I will say for the most part, all across the country, all of the folks sort of laugh at all of the same things. The only exception I have found is New York and LA, I believe, are harder. So I think I feel like the further I go to get to the venue, the more appreciative people are that I came. And I can kind of feel that in the show. If you look at my tour, you'll notice it's not filled with the biggest, craziest cities. It's
right.
Mostly like 45 minutes outside of a big city, or, you know, which of course makes travel a bit of a biatch. But it's I find the less my phone works, the better my jokes work.
Ah, I like that. My last question to you is last night, and I know we can't play the soundbite from President Trump, but I mean, that is material that a president handed you on a silver platter, right?
Dude, Trump by far. Let's just be, whatever side of politics you're on, he's the funniest president we have ever had. Like, sure, Biden can fall up the stairs and stuff like that, but man, this Trump, he provides us with, he is like a real guy. Like, I feel like if that had been Kamala and she wanted a ceasefire and then they shot missiles, I feel like she would have gone like, well, you know, a ceasefire doesn't mean you stop right away. You know, maybe they do a couple, they're listening. He's just like, these guys effed up, and they don't know what the F they're doing.
Right.
He's just like a real guy. Did you hear the other day he goes, he was talking about, like, reducing healthcare costs and prescription drug costs, and he goes, you know, buddy of mine, he's on the fat shot. He's on the fat shot. It's like $3,000 a month. And I was like, the fat shot? I go, can we please have President Trump rename all of the drugs? Like, you just walk in, you go, can I get a refill on my not-so-sads? You know?
Oh, that's great.
That is fantastic. Jamie, we're looking forward to seeing you in Nashville in November at Zanies. I know it's going to be a lot of fun, but best of luck on the rest of the tour, and thanks so much for coming on today.
Thank you, guys. Absolutely. Pleasure talking to you, and I can't wait. Nashville, one of my favorite spots, Zanies Legendary Club, and we sold out all our seats last time we were there. So we do a similar thing. And thanks for taking the time, guys. You guys enjoy the rest of your day.
Absolutely. You too. Jamie Lissau joining us here on the program. His tour that he's on, Better Off Dad Comedy Tour. And again, he will be at Zany. We'll have to get him on closer. That was pretty good.
Right.
November 8th and 9th, he will be at Zany's. You know, if you think about it, like at least in the last, you know, 30 to 35 years, all our presidents have given us comedy. Maybe that's why comedians exist.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the first one was on Saturday Night Live when Chevy Chase was doing Gerald Ford and the Falling Down. And actually, that's when it kind of started to a next level. And then from that moment on, it's been nonstop.
There you go. Coming up next, what day is it and celebrity birthdays? I will not be in that, obviously. But it is Chasing Big Joe presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey, hey, happy birthday. Now get him out of here.
Happy birthday!
Thank you, Krusty. Thank you, Grandpa. Jason Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. I do appreciate the birthday wishes today. It's funny, and I'm sure you had a moment where you went through this where it's like birthdays are still great, but they're weird because there's people that you wish were here that aren't.
Correct.
You
know? Yep.
And, so,
and there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
Nope. But I mean, like, I was texting my mom last night that, like, my dad had, like, his stories he always had to tell about the day I was born. My grandmother, both my grandmothers, had their stories. My grandfather had his stories, and, like, it was just – so it was always fun. My grandfather was the president of the Tennessee Hospital Association and would not leave, and my grandmother basically was like, you have to go to work and get out of here because my mom was in labor for a while. He shows up, like, 4 hours later giving a tour – so he could check on my mom.
Oh.
It was so funny.
How big were you?
She's listening. She'll 9 pounds, 8 ounces, I think. I was big. I was large.
Your mom had a Volkswagen Beetle. Lord.
Basically. So there you go. With that, let's get to what day it is. What day it is? What day is it? And celebrity birthday. And of course, it is brought to you by, where's my read? It is brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc. Jarrett Fire Division covers all of your business's fire safety needs. Just go to jarrettfire.com, above and beyond industry standards.
All right. We have Anthony Bourdain Day today. So wonderful foodie. Rest in peace. Color TV Day is today. Day of Seafarers. Oh, all right. Seafarers, whatever. Global Beatles Day is today, if you guys like the Beatles.
Like the band?
Or the bug?
The band. Okay. Like, yeah, the band. Yeah.
Paul, sure. John, George, and Ringo. Yeah, I like them.
Leon Pete Day Best. Is today. Shout out to Leon. National Parchment Day is today. National Catfish Day. Talk about 9 pounds. That's a good catfish right
there. Is that the fish or how you fake people out?
No, it's the fish. It's the fish, yep. Okay. National Strawberry Parfait Day. Yep.
Sorry.
World Vitiligo Day. I don't know, something with your skin.
Pardon you?
That's what it
says. Bless you.
It's World Vitiligo Day. It's like something with the
wasn't
skin.
He an
I got nervous. I'm just.
Yeah, it's something with the skin discoloration.
Wasn't he in Crimson Tide? Or was that Viggo Mortensen?
Viggo Mortensen. Right, was
my bad.
Discoloration of the skin. And then to wrap it up, National Police Community Cooperative Day. So there you go.
Okay. That's quick. Fast with that.
It's good.
I want to get to pacing with it. You know?
I liked it. Sorry. All right. Time for celebrity.
My mom says 9 pounds, 10 ounces. 23 and a half inches long. I was a toddler.
Good Lord. You're like the fish Homer caught when he went on the marriage retreat. Good God. And he had to the throw general. Back. Yeah. The throw back in there to save your marriage. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Got to get these within two. Our first birthday, Carly Simon, James Taylor's ex-wife. How old is Carly Simon?
I get to find out what celebs I share a birthday with. Carly Simon, I'm going to say 76.
55.
82. The very funny Ricky Gervais. How old is Ricky Gervais today?
58.
62.
64. Dr. Crane's up one. Nada. Going down here. Oh, Angela from The Office. Angela Kinsey.
55. 52. 54.
Tied at one. Dr. Crane taking him down and the birthday game on his birthday. Epic. Epic. Don't know who that is. We're going down. Oh, Busy Phillips, the actress. She was in Vice Principals and been in a bunch of other things.
71.
67.
46.
Nice.
She was on Dawson's Creek. Going down here. Singer McKenna Grace.
42.
49.
19.
Okay.
Actress June Lockhart.
78. 59. 100.
You guys are close on that one. Oh, actor, comedian. We've had him on the show before. Jimmy Walker. JJ from Good Times.
62.
67.
78. It's 1-1. Singer Tim Finn of Split Ends and Crowded House. Singer Tim Finn.
58.
62.
73. Rapper Richie Rich.
48.
44.
58. The bass player for Nickelback, Mike Kroeger.
That's Chad's brother.
That's
right?
Chad's Bubba. Come on, man.
47.
50.
53. All right, we're down to the final two. You guys are tied at 1-1. This is good. Again, how old is former baseball player Carlos Delgado?
53.
54.
53. Dead on. Chase up 3-1. Last birthday. It's a good one. How old is Dell Curry, Steph Curry's dad? How old is Dell Curry?
65.
63.
Ugh. He's 61 at the buzzer. Chase wins 3-2 on his birthday.
Thank you.
Well done, buddy. Happy birthday, pal. I'm going to get you call waiting like Kramer got Jerry call waiting on his birthday.
Thank you very much. Thanks again for all the birthday wishes. I appreciate it.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, buddy. Happy birthday to you. Trevor. And also, it's a good day to our guys out there. If you are struggling, going through some things, please reach out. Please talk to us on your cell phone. You can call or text 988. We talk about journeys all the time. Your journey is a beautiful journey. Understand that. And that all storms at some point run out of rain. So know that. Know there are brighter, better days ahead, and our world is a better place because you're here. Know that. Know that we love you, and more importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.